Jim Raymond, happy Sabbath to all you. Good to see you all. It was like Mr. Merriman said, it feels like fall, but it makes me think of the feast, so maybe that's all planned that way, I don't know, but pretty chilly this morning. Did you ever get the opportunity to do something that you always wanted to do? Maybe an accomplishment, or maybe a goal, something you saw or did, and maybe a wonderful experience. I call that the experience of ah. Just really got to do that. A movie came out in 2007, you probably remember this, from Jack Nicholson and Morgan Freeman a few years ago. It was about two older men with terminal illness, but they decided to get together to make a bucket list of things they want to do before they died. Hence the title of the movie, The Bucket List. How many people have seen that movie, The Bucket List? Yeah, pretty interesting movie. But some of the things were wild and daring, some things I probably wouldn't do. Some were like a vista, something to see. The term is a relatively new thing in our language. It really came from the term to kick the bucket. That has its own etymology. I'll tell you about that later if you like. But while on vacation a few weeks ago, I got to fulfill two items like that, some things I always wanted to do. Now, this may seem minor to you, but for me, first one, I got to see a pileated woodpecker in the wild, actually a pair of them, up in northern Door County. That was pretty cool. And I got to go to Mackinac Island with my lovely wife. We passed this up 37 years ago on our honeymoon. People says, well, why didn't you stop there? So I got to fulfill two things like that. But how nice is it when you can accomplish or fulfill a dream? Everybody has their own or different items that they would like to do. Maybe these two things might not be on your list. But I'm not sure I like that term, bucket list. I don't want to have feel compelled to almost be ready to kick the bucket before I do venture out for things. But some things are not on my list, like skydiving or running with the bulls in Spain. Maybe they're on yours. But today, I'd like to talk about and suggest to you a different type of bucket list. Did you ever consider a spiritual bucket list? And that's my title today, is Your Spiritual Bucket List. And the purpose is I want to help you or suggest to you some things or a starting point you might want to put in that special or spiritual bucket of your life, a figurative way. Consider what you could maybe put in your spiritual bucket list. I have trouble with the word bucket. That sounds funny, but it bothers me when people turn nouns into verbs. I had a boss, more than one, who wanted big into categorizing and sorting things in the task. He says, let's bucketize this. Oh, I'm still traumatized by that, but I'm getting over it. But let us start with some items, some suggestions that will perhaps help you in your spiritual life that could make it more full. I don't know if you ever considered about it quite this way before, but I challenge you today to come up with some of, of your own, too. Some of it may be grandiose, some simple, some life-changing, and some may be private just to you. Let's turn to a scripture before we get into the points here. Psalm 25, verse 5. Psalm 25, 5. Let's back up to verse 4. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Verse 5. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation, and on you I will wait all day, all the day. Asking God to lead him. So I found a bucket, or bucket list. Let's see what we have in the bucket here. Maybe you have a bucket, a list of ideas. So anyway, on the bucket list, the first thing I had here, read the Bible through in a year, point number one. I try to do this almost every year with a different translation that gives you a different and fuller perspective. And if you don't do it in a year, I will allow 2 years. It's an incentive for daily study, but you can think back of it afterwards. What an accomplishment. Maybe many of you have already done this, but I find a whole different outlook of reading through the Bible, reading it as a story. Of course, you want to do some study, pick something out here, pick something out there, but reading it through as a story. I encourage that. Let's turn to 2 Timothy 3:15. There are some people who didn't like certain parts of the Bible. I know some people that said kind of throw away the Old Testament, but that's not right. 2 Timothy 3:15, that's where it was this morning. 2 Timothy 3:15, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. To know the scriptures, well, this is really a doable goal. I mean, some things that climb Mount Everest that may be beyond most of our means, but this is something we can do. This is an accomplishment maybe you should put on your list. To know the Word of God, to know His Word, and to say that you've read it all. You really know what the book is about. Point number two, visit someone in the hospital. I have done this, not as much as I should have, to visit someone in the hospital there. I think it helps me as much as it helps them. To extend yourself a little is a good thing to do. Let's turn to another scripture. We've got a lot of them here in this Bible. Matthew 25, verse 34. Matthew 25, 34. Just read a little bit of this story here. In Matthew 25, 34, breaking a little bit into the thought, then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you by the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked and clothed. You clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and you gave me drink? Verse 38, when did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. So I read a story the other day that somebody posted on one of the social media about a pastor of a megachurch, I think it was, came in the back dressed up like a bum, kind of disheveled, disorderly, sat in the back, and nobody came up to him. But again, it talks about here the righteous. The righteous said, what are you talking about? And then afterwards, he came up to introduce him as the pastor of the church, and everybody was shocked because we tend to be respecters of persons. Of course, we do it for people we like, but doing it for other people. But there's something lacking if we don't do it when we should. Let's turn to James 2:15. James 2:15. If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and verse 16, if one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give him the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? That maybe happens to us too often. We see somebody in need and said, what a bummer. Hope somebody can help them. And then we're capable people. See ya. Let's turn to point number three. Send a card to someone or give them a call. These are simple enough things. I think most of us can do this. I know they can help. I know how encouraging this can be. Several years ago, I was very sick with an ailment. Get over it. But I'd received several cards from the youth from the church. It was very moving to me. They made these cards, and they weren't the most artistic things in the world. But it was very moving. Knowing that someone cared about me, I kept those cards. I still have those cards. And I reread them, giving somebody a lift, knowing that somebody cares, knowing that we are all in this together. Consider us a body of believers, family together, that we help each other out. Most of these things I'm talking today aren't impossible to do. Point number four, or suggestion number four, this is a little tougher. Number four, sit down and talk with someone who's having a hard time. Show that you care. Sit down and talk with somebody. That's an investment of time, and it's worth it. This might take practice, and it might not feel comfortable for everyone. It's something you might have to develop, but it will develop you. I had an elderly person come up to me many months ago and told me that she had been praying for me. Wow. Me? That was a very moving thing, to know that people care about you. And she, again, it was maybe tougher for that person that's shy, like me, be able to come up to somebody and say that. Let's turn to Galatians 6, verse 1. Galatians 6, 1. Galatians 6, 1. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself lest you also be tempted. And verse number 2, bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Rather than saying that you're on your own, guy or gal, we can bear one another's burdens because we do care. We care about others and they care about us. And finally, in that same vein, let's turn to Proverbs 24, verse 6. Proverbs 24, verse 6. For by wise counsel you will wage your own war, and in a multitude of counselors there is safety. I know people that make poor decisions, and afterwards people say, what were you thinking? Well, yeah, that's easy to say afterwards, but maybe sometimes bouncing these ideas off people. I've done that to people. I've done it to my wife. I'm thinking about doing this. How does that sound? Whoa. You know, sometimes it's nice to get some other ideas about things, especially people that are maybe mature in the faith. They can help you with those things. How to go after a problem, how to attack these things, and what the right thing might be to do. Some are needy, some are hurting, some need the love of God. You see those people sitting by themselves. It takes effort. It takes stepping without your normal comfort zone to help those people. Point number five, or suggestion number five, if you prefer, in your bucket list, your spiritual bucket list, pray for someone in a church every day. It could be something like, God, I bring this to your attention. Please hear this person. Hear me. Help this person. Relieve their suffering and give them aid. I found it so incredibly moving when people at church told me they had prayed for me and my family every day. I didn't necessarily ask for that. I didn't necessarily solicit that. Do I deserve that? Well, I guess I do. We all do. Because we care about each other. And that's part of the Christian way. Let's turn to Luke 18, verse 1. Luke 18, verse 1. Interesting parable from Jesus. Luke 18, verse 1. Then he spoke a parable to them, that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. Verse 2, saying that there was a certain city, a judge, who did not fear nor regard man. That there was a widow in that city, and she came to him, saying, get justice for me and my adversary. Verse 4, he would not for a while, but afterwards he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Again, this person's continual coming to God, asking over and over again. Do you say, like, God, I've asked you about this once or twice. That's it. I have things I pray for every day, day after day, supplicating God, asking for his help for this person or my situation. And we can do that. Do we do that for other people that we know need help every day in their lives? Point number six, overcome a fault. I think this may be the hardest one. Overcome a fault. Part of this might begin with admitting that you have a fault. Some people have more than others. Some people are more obvious than others. And you have to want to overcome that fault. I've known people that had problems like going into a fit of rage, losing it, might say, swearing. People that were compulsive, artistic with the language, the English language. Not a good thing. I've known people in the church that are compulsive liars, that make up some of the wildest stories. Why would you do that? But again, that's a fault they had to have. Are they working on that? Or maybe look at things on the internet they shouldn't look at. Ask for God's help and enlist a close friend and confidant. Could you imagine this problem going on for years and years and years? Ask God for help. Ask others to help you and to guide you. You might think you don't have the strength on your own, and many times maybe we don't. Let's turn to Ecclesiastes 4:12. Ecclesiastes 4:12. When the kids were memorizing the Bible books, Ecclesiastes was one of the harder ones to pronounce, it seemed like. Ecclesiastes 4:12. Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Talking about the strength and the value of friends. Of course, we have strength from God we can have, but strength of friends together, to going in together. Can't do this on my own. Can you help me? There's a very much strength there. And item number seven, my last point. Heal a broken friendship, either yours or others. Someone you have offended or offended you, at least do what you can. A lost friend, perhaps. Someone lost to the faith. Is there an opportunity there? Restoring a brother. It's a very powerful thing when you can restore a brother. Maybe he's lost to you for something you've done. Maybe they've lost the faith. Maybe there's a misunderstanding. That's the hardest part, I think, is breaching that gulf for a lost person. I had a misunderstanding with my aunt many years ago, and she was very upset about something. I sat down, started talking. That was hard. A lot of icicles there, whatnot. But again, restoring that breach, helping a brother, that's part of Christianity. I could go on and on about this, but this is just a sampling. I suggest to you to make your list, maybe these, maybe more, maybe some other fabulous ones. More ideas, ideas for growth, character improvement, and development. Well, this is not my thing. That's what people will tell me. I don't do these sorts of things. Well, maybe it should be your thing. Maybe you should question your comfort zone. I've had to do things I haven't done before, be more bold, be more interactive. I don't remember anyone ever saying, I received too many get-well cards. I'm tired from all the nice visitors and well-wishers. When my mom or dad died, they brought over too much food for me to eat. People are just too nice to me. No, we don't get too much of that. There's not usually too much overextension of people smothering us with friendship and love. Let's turn to Luke 12, verse 16. Jesus has some just marvelous parables he had here. This really hit the spot, I think, and I'll point on for a lot of people. Luke 12, verse 16. Another parable. Luke 12, 16. Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. Maybe a good, wet, warm spring. And he thought within himself, saying, what should I do since I have no room to store my crops? So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and they will store all my crops and my goods. I will say to my soul, soul, you have many good things laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Verse 20. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then those things which you have provided. What happens then? And again, maybe it's not bad to have barns or bigger barns or even bigger barns, but he lost the focus of even caring about anyone else. Well, so are you providing or working on the bigger barns or thinking about more people or thinking about the blessings that God has given you, where those came from? Maybe you've done most of these things. That's great. But can you add to your spiritual bucket list for your spiritual growth? Have you stopped growing or consider growing? As like they say in the Lowe's ad, never stop improving. But how are these two buckets different? The physical bucket list and the spiritual bucket list. You ever think about that? How would these possibly be different? But my bucket list of life, perhaps. There's a lot of things that I would like to do, and instead of quantify all those. Things to see, places to go, accomplishments, big adventures. If I have the time, the money, the fortitude, and still have the desire in my elder years. The word I is in there a lot. Years ago, my father would periodically take a driving trip from Indiana to Oregon, take a couple weeks, where he graduated from high school. But they'd take a two-week trip there and back with my eldest brother. I was invited, but decided I could not go. This was when we were growing up. I didn't have the vacation time easily. I had other plans. Couldn't take time away from my young family at the time. I was very practical, maybe much too practical. All these years later, I still regret not having gone. You see, out of a family of eight children, only a few of us were really invited to that trip. The ones he really wanted to take the trip with. I don't say why he didn't want the other ones to go. At least I thought I was asked. I know I was asked more than once and never went. But as I heard, it was a marvelous and moving trips that they took together. Bob and Dad alike got a lot out of them, getting closer together, bonding, sharing times, sharing experiences. But did you consider that our Father has invited us on a marvelous journey too? Of course, it won't be in a vehicle, maybe. A journey of life, heading toward the kingdom and eternal life. Not everyone is invited at this time. We don't want to pass it up. Maybe we're too busy. Maybe other pursuits. Maybe things are in the way. But again, I urge you, don't pass this trip up on this marvelous journey of life. Our spiritual bucket list can help us prepare. We can mentally prepare for that. It can change us for the better and change others for the better too. But more importantly, this bucket list, the spiritual bucket list, isn't about us. And that's what's different about it. It's about others. The focus is not just about our wants, our needs, our pleasure, but helping the lives of others. How much we change when we realize it is not just about us. And that's hard. That's an adjustment when it's not just about me. This is the basis of Christianity, to love one another. What is seriously lacking in many other faiths? I say that's what stands out the most, is it says love God and love your neighbor. I don't hear that espoused in other faiths, and just the opposite, in fact. No matter what they say, the faiths are not all the same. I think of little children. They get upset when they don't get what they want. At least my kids did. We may be too much like that ourselves. Father, I'm not getting everything I want right now. The example of Christ showing compassion for others. He healed. He spoke to the commoners. Spent time with people and gave the bigger and better picture. I'm sure he had other things to do. If I would have been his manager, Christ, come on, let's do something else. But again, he saw a much better plan. He did care about the people. And that's what made him so different, so special, because he cared about people and he cares about us. I think if I never learned to juggle or sew proficiently or play the ukulele or see the aurora borealis, that's okay. I still like to do some of those things and many others. But if I see my brother or sister in need and turn my back, if I see a brother or sister who's sinning and don't offer to put them back on track, if I don't nurture a tender plant or someone new in the faith, if I come to realize that I'm devoid of any real character or that God is no longer working with me, that's not okay. But these are tests. Life is full of tests or trials, you might say. There are opportunities for growth. There are possibilities to let our light shine and glorify God, too. There's a quote from by Henry Kaiser says, problems are only opportunities in work clothes. Problems are only opportunities in work clothes. I don't think Peter or Paul were the same person at all compared to the person they were in the beginning. You look at Peter, for instance. We won't turn to all that. But when he denied Christ, and I can't take that anymore. But look how powerful he became later on as an apostle and helping people. Very powerful, moving things he did. You think about the first day of the Pentecost. And Paul, how much he was changed, persecuting the believers, putting them to death. But with the help of God, he became a powerful tool and wrote so many books of the Bible and things we quote today. If you think about stuff could fall into your bucket, if I left a bucket in my yard during the fall time, I would collect some acorns in there. They'd plink in there, unless the squirrels stole them. But if I chose to collect them instead, I would gain many more if that's what I choose to collect. Much, much more if I chose to put things in there. What can you add to your spiritual bucket to make your life more in alignment with the mind of God? You can use this list, you can add the list, and we can develop them along the way. Because I think as we evaluate ourselves today, a year ago, or a year from now, we'll see more things I think that we need to work on. We should never stop growing, developing, and rounding off the rough corners, sharing the joy of having someone overcome or come through a trial. Let's turn to Isaiah 64, verse 8. Isaiah 64, verse 8. But now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are potter. And all we are, the work, and we are all the work of your hand. That's such a powerful thing. I think talking about later in Job or elsewhere, about being the master potter. Does the piece of wood or the pottery clay get molded by itself? No. I've done a little bit of woodworking. I've never done any much pottery. But again, the better product with the better potter. Who could be a better potter than God the Father molding us if we allow him to be worked? Or would rather be just a lump of clay in the corner, just hopefully I'll turn into something. Let's turn to Romans 9:20. Romans 9:20. But indeed, Romans 9:20, O man, who are you to reply against God? Will the thing formed say to him who formed it, why have you made me like this? Maybe we'll question God. Why did you do this? Why did you allow me to be this way? Why did you allow me to be so handsome, or whatever the case may be? But some of these things, God, we allow God, we should allow God to work with us. But I really believe this, that God is the master potter, the craftsman in our lives. And if we think about it that way, we'll look together at trials and situations much differently. And if you don't know maybe some shortcomings that you have, others usually willing, even anxious, to spotlight your shortcomings. Hopefully it'll be more constructive than you're a jerk. I've heard that before too. But sometimes people can help you. A brother in the faith, someone that loves you, can tell you maybe where you need a little bit of nudging, guiding, things like that. Let's turn to Ezekiel 11:19. Ezekiel 11:19. We'll get there. He's talking about prophecy here, about the nation being brought back. Ezekiel 11:19. Then I will give them one heart. There'll be a new spirit within them, and take the stony heart out of the flesh, and begin to give them a heart of flesh. Again, talking about a stony heart to a fleshy heart. Of course, there's not really a piece of granite inside our chest. But the figure thing, you figure a stony heart, one with somebody that doesn't care, not wanting to change, not loving, where the heart of flesh is tender. Do we have a heart that wants to grow? In Psalm 51, it talks about 51:10. We won't turn there. Create in me a clean heart. I don't think God's got a scrub brush in our heart. But again, this figurative thing about changing our heart, changing our will, who we really are. Do you want to have the heart of a thriving, growing Christian? Well, sure you do. You were here. You were called. We need to not forget that we're put specially here, not just today, but in our calling to learn more, to become more like Jesus Christ. Let's make the most and the best of your opportunity. But what about another bucket? Got another bucket here. This is a rusty old bucket. Not as nice as the other one. What's in there? A grumpy old man. Instructions for being grumpy. A complainer in that bucket. Bitter of how things turned out. Maybe they're missed opportunities. Maybe there's a mirror, because I like looking at myself, of course. That's what I care about. Life has passed me by. This is in that rusty old nasty bucket. What did I get? Life's not fair. And what's worse than saying life's not fair is saying that God's not fair. But which bucket do you want? Which bucket are you going to nurture? Which bucket are you going to populate things in and pay more attention to? The spirit is so much more better, much better, better than the physical, which is failing, that rusty bucket. Are you okay with an empty bucket? Hopefully I'm not. I want to grow, and I have a lot of room for improvement. We're in this together. Can we work together to help fill each other's spiritual buckets with good things? Because we care. Because we talk to each other. Because we're sharing each other's lives. And finally, and in conclusion, with some self-evaluation, consider putting together in your spiritual walk of life your spiritual bucket. We never know when this physical life may be cut short. Ask others and ask God, our Father, to inspire you and let you be more useful and productive tool in his most loving and capable hands. We look forward to eternal life in the kingdom of God.